I think it was talking about Peter in the prison. And they were praying for him in Acts chapter 12. They were praying for him. And, you know, the prison just opened up. You know, everything just began to work in his favor to bring him home. So much so that, and the funny part was that, you know, he's busy show. He shows up at the door and knocking on the door, and the little girl comes to the door. You know, it's, oh, it sounds like Peter's outside, but we can't be because he's in prison and we're praying for him. Yeah, the expectation even was not, at least not there for her. You know, we had maybe people in the room who were, you know, praying, but you know, she comes out to answer the door, and she's like, "Where? He's in prison. Sorry, he's not here." No, he's not. God got him out. God put him in, and God's going to do that for you. God's going to put you in places. You may feel like you're in prison. Jesus came to set the captive free. That the captive is you in a lot of cases, or in a lot of parts of your life. You know, I talk about over in Mark chapter 4, we'll get into Joshua 11 in a minute. In Mark chapter 4, when he's talking about the various kinds of soils, I believe that all the various kinds of soils, all four of them are in you. You know, it's not just, you know, well, I'm good ground. Well, yeah, but you got a few thorns maybe, and you got a few rocks that God's still, you know, he's still working on the garden. We do need a husbandman. We need the gardener is Jesus, and he's still working on the garden, isn't he? Amen. He's still working on the garden. He's still getting the rocks out, still getting the thorns out, and still breaking up the hard ground, because he wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to hear his voice. And you will. Say, I will. See, you're going to hear his voice, because you are convinced that God's on your side. Monty, what you said earlier is, you know, it's not just that Jesus loves me, but it's that, it's this I know, you know. Jesus loves me. Go ahead. Oh, man, that's good. What a testimony you have. This I know. You know, all the Bible's full of, you know, or the New Testament's full of, and we know, and we know, and we know. But it's, you know, sometimes you may not know as well as you wanted to know, but at least you're being encouraged along the way. Amen? And that's what reading the Word does. Reading the Word continually encourages you, because you're putting it on the inside of you, and it's transforming you. It actually transforms you. It's like putting fertilizer in. You know, it actually transforms the soil and causes it to bring forth fruit. So you put that Word on the inside. Also, Mark 4, the Word is what? A seed. And the Word, and the interesting thing is, when God talks about seed, is, you know, you put the seed in the ground, and then you know, morning and evening passes by, water, you know, in sunshine, and it groweth up. The Word says, you know not how. Seed is funny, because there's life in it, and that's when he describes the Word of God as seed. You have this little seed right here. I think I talked about it last time. Each have this little seed, but inside of it is DNA. Inside of it is life. And Jesus said, John says, in him was life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. So when that seed of the Word, who's the Word? Jesus, gets on the inside of you, it brings forth life. It's bringing forth life. I'm just saying, like, wow, that pastor, you're going on and on and on. Well, that's what I do. That's what I do in me. I just go on and on and on. Amen? I hope you do. I hope every day you go on and on and on in your person. And I don't know where these people went, but now they're all back. This is great. Yeah, I love this. You lost it? Well, praise the Lord. Come on back in here. We'll find it. Amen. So no, but I'm just always continually, just, you know, filling myself up. David encouraged. Said the Bible told me to. He said David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, but you can say, you know, Cookie encouraged herself in the Lord. You know, and so Susie encouraged herself in the Lord. And by golly, she did. And by golly, you know, there's something to it. Yeah. There is something to it. Let's look over at Joshua chapter 11. Wow, that Joshua, man, all the seems like all they do is kill people. Seems like all they do is just go through and just mop up. Amen. Well, that's what you're doing. Because the enemy came in and he took an advantage because we didn't believe the truth. But God sent Jesus, and then he sent you that you might mop up. Amen? I mean, that's what he said over in Joshua chapter 1. He said, you know, be of good courage. Don't turn to the left or the right. Listen to put my word on the inside of you. Then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Is that talking about just money and stuff? No, it's talking about you. You're going to make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success as you put the word of God and the promise of God on the inside of you. Amen? You remember they were at the foot of Mount Sinai and Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments and the children of Israel down at the bottom and they're just goofing around, you know, with nothing to do. I guess they were just watching television, you know, watching Netflix or something down there. And then they began to, you know, worship a cow. Where do they do that? I think they do that in some other places around, you know, the world. And so Moses came down and it just didn't work out well for him for a few days. But God didn't abandon his people. And God doesn't abandon you when you mess up. See, people want to think that God abandons them. People want to think that God just, I'll go find me some better people. No, if you're in Christ Jesus, you read John 17 and find out that he's on your side and he's for you, and that he is going to begin to transform and change you even when you stumble over your own feet. God will not, he doesn't pay attention as much to you as you think. He pays attention to what? His promise. He pays attention to his word. And so as we begin to pray, we're going to begin to pray. We started last Thursday night. We can give you we're sending out an email this week with the login information. If you need help with it, we can help you. And this is going to be like every week we're going to do like a video Zoom call. We all live, 10, 15, 20 miles away from here, in the evening. It's, evenings are, we know. What we want to do is make it convenient and easy for people to connect, right? And thank God, we all learned how to do it during COVID. Don't tell me you didn't figure out how to do some Zoom call somewhere. Well, I'm too old, No, you're not. You know exactly how to do that. You read your email. It's just that easy. Click on the link and you're there. And so we just join together for prayer. If you're logging in 3 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes late because your internet was messed up, come. I know Norman doesn't like to come into. Norman doesn't like to come to a meeting, if he's a minute late. I'm telling y'all, just come, just arrive. Amen. Now here, arrive at 10:30, but that way you're just in your car. Drive and get here. It's no logging in and we're talking about. But what I want you to do is get that information. Join us on that prayer call. You can, if you want to just listen for the first few times, fine. If you want to have a prayer, particular prayer need, you just say, hey, I have a prayer need. And we'll pray for that. Let's get used to praying together, okay? Let's get used to just meeting together. That's how you start any other meeting. You get two or three people, four or five people, 10 or 12 people, and they just all start, meeting together. That's what this is. We'll probably work out an arrangement where maybe once a month we will meet, we'll schedule a meeting to meet in person. Whoever can meet can do that. We'll just meet down here at the church. And so at some point, we want to meet corporately together and pray together. But a continual flow of prayer is something that we want to give an advantage to the church to pray together. And it's such an easy way to do that. Amen? So Thursday night at 6:30, is when we log on to it's similar to Zoom. It's called WebEx. Works pretty much the same way. And so you just put in a meeting code, a password and hit click, you know, join. And so you'll be on there, all right? And if, or, I mean, you can actually even do it on the phone if you want to. So, but I encourage you to do the other. Do the extra effort and figure out how to get on the call so we can see you. So it's like, it's as if we're gathering together personally. We see each other's faces. That's important. Amen? It's important to do. Father, we just love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this tremendous time of testimony and of encouraging and building up one another, sharing with each other. And Father, let it not just be these individual testimonies that we only hear, but Lord, as we dismiss ourselves, that we meet and greet one another and encourage one another individually, personally. If we don't know somebody, hi, you know, I don't know you. I want to know you. I want to meet you and hear your story. And so we just invite people to come and to have fellowship together. And we give you praise and thank you for it as we receive your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 11. Well, remember in chapter 10, there were about a lot of battles going on. And several kings joined together. Adonizedek, who was the king of Jerusalem. An early king of Jerusalem. They didn't even have Jerusalem yet. They had not even taken Jerusalem yet. That wasn't until the time of David that they actually took the city of Jerusalem, which was the Jebusite city. So that was long down the road. But these kings, several of them, they had seen how Israel was taking over the land in Canaan. And they were taking over the land in Canaan because God gave it to them. Because God gave it to them. They were under command. So this is the land that I have given to you. Take the land. Now that's true in you. That's true in you. Is that there is a land that I have that God wants me to possess. The scripture says, let every one of you know how to possess his vessel in glory and honor. To possess his vessel. I've got a couple of messages back there on that. Is that how to possess your vessel. And it's through prayer. And it's through the Word of God. And God is commanding Israel in this part of the Scripture to possess the land. You know, that's a command of God, to possess the land. Your land doesn't get to possess you. Amen. Your land doesn't possess you. You possess the land. Why? Because you are a vessel of God. You are a vessel of the Holy One. He and your the relationship that you have, men and women, the relationship that you have with God is born of Him. This is, you are His creation. You are His child. And He has brought you so that you may have a relationship with Him. And so our meditation is, God, I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to come and dwell on the inside of me. John chapter 17, again, read that one. Yeah, because that's Jesus' desire as He's leaving to let you know that this is what His hope is, His joy is, and the Father's joy, that us in Him and them in us and we and, you know, it's kind of a weird sounding thing, you know. How does that work? How does that happen? It's a mystery. It is a mystery. But as you get into the Word, and as you spend time in prayer, you begin to hear His voice, and you begin to know Him. And He is your Father. Jesus spent all of most of the book of Matthew teaching the Jewish community that about your Father in heaven. Your Father in heaven. He just continued during the Sermon on the Mount. It was all about your Father. And they were like, what? You mean God? God, big G, big O, big D? Yeah, He's your Abba. He is your Father. I'm changing the relationship that you have with Him. Your Father in heaven loves you. When you go and pray in secret, He rewards you openly. This is your Father. See, he's telling them it's no longer about the law, but it's about my love. My love is not only for you, but my love is for the whole world. Jesus didn't hate the wicked. He loved the wicked, just as because, number one, there wasn't anybody but wicked. Even the good people were wicked. Even the good people were just putting on a show because they're used to trying to make it in this world. So what this is doing is teaching us the whole Bible, the whole Word of God, is teaching us how to relate to our Father in heaven, the living God. And it's so much joy. It's so much joy because He's not out to get you. He's not out to criticize you or out to chastise you in a sense of an abusive father. You know, we've had all kinds of fathers in the world, all kinds of mothers in the world. He's not that. God's not that. God's not the father and the mother that you're used to. Well, I had just a wonderful mother. Well, I'm glad you did. You know, thank God for your wonderful mother. If you had a wonderful father, thank God. But if you had an awful upbringing, thank God that you were born. And thank God that you're sitting here and you heard the Word of God and the Word brought you here. Jeff was raised he was a giant hot mess, as he says. But God somehow got him here. Now, I don't mean just here. I mean, He could have done it anywhere. But He got us here. We're grateful. We're grateful that He's here. I'm sure Tammy's fairly grateful, you know. I mean, it's been good. God has done some amazing, amazing things. And then you have the opportunity to unload into somebody else. Amen. So there we have the kingdoms, these kingdoms lining up against, in chapter 10, lining up against Israel. And then all of a sudden, I mean, to get the job done, God stops the sun. God sends a bunch of hailstones. God will get your job done. Amen? I'm telling you, He'll get your job done. When Joshua learned how to go into the tabernacle of the Lord, back with Moses in Exodus chapter 33, he learned how to go into the tabernacle of the Lord and meet with God. When you go meet with God, you're going to be transformed and God will enable you to walk according to His promise. Then when Moses died in Joshua chapter 1, he said, okay, Moses, my servant, is dead. Apparently, he doesn't even need Moses. You know what? If somebody died and you depended on them, you know, God's going to use you instead. He's just going to come and use you. Amen. Praise God. Because he knows what He can do with you. Because He created you. He created you, and He knows exactly the capacity that you have and what He can use you in. And He is going to do it. All you do is just raise your hands and give Him praise and thanks. Give Him praise and thanks, and He will continue to transform and to use you. So in chapter 11, it came to pass when Jabin, king over Hazor, had heard these things, Joshua chapter 11, that he sent to Jobab, the king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Achshaph, can you say that? Achshaph. And to the kings that were on the north of the mountains and on the plains south of Chinneroth. Chinneroth is Galilee, where the Sea of Galilee is. Okay? And in the valley, and in the borders of Doron, and the west. And to the Canaanite on the east. So this king, Jabin, king of Hazor, he's heard about what Israel was doing, taking all this land, and he was going to get a group together to defeat them. And to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, verse 3. And to the Amorite, and to the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Jebusite in the mountains. And to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand is that is upon the sea, upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and they pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. Well, Merom is a little lake that's somewhat on the Jordan River, somewhat north of the Sea of Galilee. It's a little smaller body of water. So that's where they met, and they were going to fight against Israel. And the Lord said to Joshua, now listen to what he said, "Be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow, about this time," he's looking at his watch, "about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel, and you shall huff their horses," that's hamstring their horses, "and burn their chariots with fire." That's what God said. That's what God said to Joshua. You know, so Joshua has heard about this, and he's heard that this group of folks is coming, and they're going to come against them. Maybe you've heard that. There's a group of folks that's going to come against you. About this, sometime about tomorrow, sometime about this time. And you know when they're coming. Yet God said, don't be afraid. You know, well, I thought this is just another story about Israel beating the bad guys. Well, it's also a story about you that says when you get word that bad stuff is coming, don't be afraid. Amen. You know, there's a lot of bad stuff. It appears a lot of bad stuff's coming. You know, we're talking about the Great Tribulation. There's the tribulation, and then there's the Great Tribulation. Well, don't you be afraid of any of them. Amen. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as one who is meditating upon His Word day and night, like Joshua told them to do, if you will meditate on His Word day and night, do not let this word of the law depart out of your mouth. That's the word of the law is also the word of His promise. Don't let the word of His promise depart out of your mouth. You don't repeat what the enemy is repeating. You repeat what God's repeating. You say the same thing that God is saying. Amen? Well, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. No. What's coming is the defeat of my enemy, the defeat of God's enemy, and the rejoicing of my heart. That's what's coming. Every single day, I expect the very best. Amen? I expect the very best. You know, I see the very worst coming along. Amen. I'm like you. See the same thing. You know, people say, you know, well, I don't know, I just don't watch that news. Oh, I do. I love it. I love it. And you know, well, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. Really? Is that what they think they're going to do? They think they're going to make hay with me? They're not. Amen. It's not because I've got power. It's because my dad's got power. My dad is on top. He's on the throne. He's having a wonderful time. He's not afraid. He said, I told them, be not afraid. For tomorrow, verse 6, about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So verse 7, Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly. God even brings you up suddenly. You know, the enemy was coming, he had everything all planned, and all of a sudden you show up suddenly. It's like, how come he didn't know you were showing up? Because he hid you. He hides you. God hides His plan. There's a story of a king over in Kings, where Elijah is hearing, or Elisha, I can't remember the story, is the king, he knows every plan that the king is doing. And all of his prophets and seers are in there, the king's advisors are all there. Well, every time we plan something, Elijah hears what you're saying in your bedchamber. Elijah hears everything. He knows everything you've planned. Every good plan, everything in your situation room, he knows exactly what you're doing, and they thwart you every time. God does. And that's you. That's you. Do you have confidence right now that God is manifesting His victory in you, for you, through you? You know, I got two little girls over here, and my granddaughters in wheelchairs. Well, that seems like a, Wow, that's awful. Man, oh, it's so sad. Those kids, I mean, Shiloh was over there praying apparently at church last Sunday in the power chair, laying hands on the sick at the church they go to. She's 10 years, not quite 10 years old. She knows how to pray. Amen? You're not looking at yourself wondering, you know, well, how come I'm not walking yet? No. What you do is you learn how to pray. You learn how to believe God and trust God for other people. Amen? Thank the Lord. She did that for her sister. Her sister had, they both kind of had the same diagnosis. Her sister's a couple of years younger than she was. She had some kind of a respiratory attack going on. And her oxygen was down at about like 35. And so she had some kind of a mucus blow, some kind of a, sounds gross, mucus blowed or something that was keeping her from getting the air. And so Shiloh just shook her hand out there. Her other grandmother was there. And they were praying and say, in the name of Jesus, that oxygen, commanded that oxygen to come up. You know what? It did. I mean, it went from 35 to 75 in about 5 minutes. I mean, it just started rising. I'm telling you, just don't look at your inability. Look at God's ability. Amen? So, they came up against them suddenly. And they fell upon them. That means they really fell upon them. That was kind of a surprise. It was kind of like, whoa. How'd that happen so fast? Verse 8, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them to the great Zidon. That's a city up on the coast. And to, that's another good, Misrephoth-Maim. And to the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left none remaining. And Joshua did to them as the Lord bade him. He huffed their, or hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. So you do what God says. You know, if He says get rid of whatever you're supposed to get rid of out of your house, get rid of it. You know, if He says stop this, stop it. If you can't stop it, say, God, I can't stop it. Help me stop it. You know, take it away. Take it away in Jesus' name. I have trusted You, God. Thank You. Don't condemn yourself. Thank God for His power and His deliverance. Amen? Then you stand against it. Haven't done all to stand. Ephesians chapter 6. Haven't done all. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You are reciting and rehearsing God's armor, His protection, His provision upon you. You are not doing this in your own power and strength. He has empowered you to overcome sin in the flesh. You know, and so but you're not doing it to please God as if, well, God's not happy with me. No. He's wanting to deliver you. He's wanting to deliver you. That's what any part of the law was ever about, was deliverance for you from the lies of this world. The world says, did God say if you ate that tree you would surely die? Well, you won't surely die. That's a lie. The enemy, the devil, lied to Eve, didn't he? He just lied. I mean, he just out front lied. You will not surely die. Well, not true, because God said it. And in the moment she did, she did. She died on the inside. She died spiritually. Her relationship with the Lord was severed in the moment that she crossed that line. And so God was accurate. Now, did she fall down dead physically? No. But that's not what God was talking about. That's not what God said. And the devil knew it, so he used it to lie to her. And then, you know, well, she saw the cherry was good for food and it was just pleasant to the eye. And yeah, how does the devil get you? Well, that's a harmless show. I think I'll just watch it for the whole 6 or 7, 8 seasons. You know. Because you can do that now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait 7 years to watch 7 seasons. Now you can watch 7 seasons in 24 hours. You know, and you're just filling your mind up with junk. you know, filling your mind up with the enemy. That's what kids are having in school right now, is their minds are being filled up with garbage. Their minds are being filled up with filthiness, with evil, and with wickedness. And they might learn how to add 2 + 2, and it'll equal 5, you know. And it's just crazy. You know, it's amazing what the schools have done, right? Thank God if you have godly parents who are recognizing these things and, you know, and teaching against it. You know, we were back raising our kids back in, back in the 80s. And, you know, we took them out of public schools then, you know, back in 87, 88, you know, 89, you know, all the way through the 90s. Now, our girls went to public school, but it was in a different area where all the parents were involved. So we're grateful for that. We heard the Lord. You hear the Lord, what I'm saying. Amen? This is not a law to put on you. But what it is pay attention. Pay attention. Raise your children in the nurture, in the admonition of the Lord. If you can have, you know, good helpers to do it, great. If the help doesn't exist, do it a different way. Raise your kids to know the Lord and to know the difference between good and evil. There's so much going on that there's so much deception going on. You know, I mean, they've got folks in some parts of the country who are inviting kids to come to another state if they want to become a boy or if they will, girl wants to become a boy or a girl. You know, they invite them to California. You know. And then the Texas parent can't get them back. It'll be wrapped up in the court until they graduate. These are incredible times. But he's saying here, take the land. Take the land. First of all, take your land. Amen? First of all, make sure your land is secure. And that's what God is doing here in these chapters of Joshua. Is he's making sure that the land... Nobody's depressed here today, right? Amen. You're encouraged, right? This is a beautiful message. Everything is going your way. Amen. Because God walks with you in victory. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because you're going to win them. You're going to win it all. And they left none remaining there at the end of verse 8. And Joshua did to them as the Lord bade him, and he hamstrung their horses, burned their chariots. Verse 10, Joshua at that time turned back, took Hazor, and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. So that was the place that they started the conspiracy to take them, to take Israel. So he was the organizer of it. So they took his town and killed him. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them, and there was not any left to breathe. And he burned Hazor with fire. So he got rid of that city. All right. Now, so Joshua began to take the rest of those cities as they went. So don't leave one. You know, well, we got tired. You know, we'll leave this one, we'll leave that one. No. Is that... Let the Holy Spirit work on the inside of you, taking all these cities, all of these strongholds. Amen? All of these strongholds. So, this is what God does with His Word and with His promises. He takes all the strongholds that the enemy has attempted to set up on the inside of you. Most of the times, most of these strongholds have to do with your mind. These strongholds have to do with what is going on and what is going on around you and how that circumstance is either winning or is being defeated. So God is defeating every enemy. Every enemy God is defeating on the inside with you and through you. So He says, and all the cities of those kings, and all of them, Joshua 11, verse 12, and all the kings of them, Joshua did take, and smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed them, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded. So Moses commanded him to do this, even before they entered the land. It wasn't just, you know, oh, okay, this is our idea, we're doing this on the fly. No, this was a command from the outset, is that you will take the entire land. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them. So the cities that did not participate, he did not destroy those cities. But save the city of Hazor only did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle and the children of Israel took for a prey to themselves, but every man smote they with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, neither left any to breathe. Now, what is that? That is having to do with not letting any stronghold or any enemy rise up to have a victory over you. And any of these enemies which take your thought life, your mind, your time, those things which the enemy is wanting to steal from the kingdom of God. And he left none of them to breathe. Verse 15, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord God, all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land and all their kings and slew them. And Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. How many know sometimes it takes a long time? Amen? I want you not to give up. It seems like, anybody get depressed in your mind? The enemy wants to, that's one of his tactics, is I'm just going to keep you busy. The enemy just wants to keep you busy. So my heart today to tell you is remain in your joy. Remain in your joy. Amen? That is an incredible weapon against the devil. An incredible weapon against the enemy is to maintain walking in peace, walking in joy. Nothing it can take me. Nothing can have victory over me. Amen? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Rejoice always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. These are the things that are your victory. These are your weapons. Is to walk in the presence of the Lord and not let the enemy dwell in that victory. Now, is God, you know, on your case or angry with you if you fall into that? No, but just know where your victory is. Know where your victory is. Let's look at verse 19. And there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, who were the inhabitants of Gibeon. You remember them back in chapter 9. And if you don't remember them, read chapter 9. And all the others they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they would come against Israel in battle. Now, so he's hardening their hearts of these enemies so that they make poor decisions and so that you are walking in the victory that God gives. You are walking in the victory that God gives. How many know that's what God has set you to do, is walk in victory? Amen? He has set you to walk in victory. When we pray together, we have an expectation that James 5:17, that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So as we pray, we have an expectation that, and Jesus told us, he says, when you pray in my name, you expect that you will receive the things that you've desired of him. So we have an expectation that when we pray, that God said he was going to hear our prayer and meet that need. So we don't want to walk in fear or disappointment, but in joy and expectation. Amen? Anybody say amen? Everybody say yahoo! I remember a guy used to say that here all the time. Amen. Yahoo! You know, you could say yahoo in the face of the devil. Amen. You know that? Amen. In fact, you should. It just make him mad. You know, and it just make you happy. Praise the Lord. Jesus took my burdens and he rolled them in the sea. Hallelujah. And now I'm so happy. Happy as can be. See, that's how we learn to walk in the presence of the Lord. We learn to use your mouth to declare his promise and his good word. Use your mouth. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord has raised up a standard against him. What's that? The victorious flag. I'm raising up my own. He's raising up the flag of his kingdom already, even when the enemy's coming in. You know, no, we just raise up our flag. You know, we just raise up that flag of Jesus back there. We just raise it right up. Well, you haven't got the battle victory yet. Yes, I do. I've got the victory already. I'm living in victory. I live in victory. I'm just bringing victory to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you? Are you bringing victory to somebody else? You know, that's what your job is to bring victory, the love of Jesus, the gospel, the good news. That's why they call it good news. The good news, you're bringing it to somebody else. Amen. So there wasn't a city, except for Gibeon, that made peace with them. And for it was the Lord that hardened their hearts of the kings, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded. Verse 21. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims. Now you may remember the Anakims. The Anakims were the giants. We're the giants from way back when, you know, during the Noah age. And of course, you know, there were still giants later. And he says here, from the mountains and from Hebron and from Debir and from Anab and from all the mountains of Judah and from all the mountains of Israel. I guess the giants live in the mountains. Joshua destroyed them with their cities. There was none of the Anakims, the giants, left in the land of the children of Israel. Only, listen to this, in Gaza, anybody know where Gaza is? Now, everybody knows where Gaza is, right? You know, you've kind of figured that out now. Gaza and in Gath. Well, that's where Goliath was from. Gath. So even in the time of David, there were still giants around. And those giants were still up against the children of Israel. So the children of the Anakims were in only in Gaza and in Gath and in Ashdod. They remained there. Verse 23, so Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord said to Moses. Well, that's good news for you. Joshua took the whole land. So today, the whole land. We're going to say that you took the whole land. Say your name. I took the whole land. Amen? You took the whole land. But it's because God is with you. It's not because you're powerful. It's because he's powerful. And what the enemy determined for evil, God intended for good. In other words, he turned it around. Even when it was happening, yes, it was evil. But God took it and he took the impossible task of turning what was evil for your good. Paul said it in Romans 8:28, right? And all things, some things, most things, about 50-50 things, all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. So, here's all things. Mess that they are. Unrecognizable as anything that could possibly be called good. And what in the world? God turned that for your blessing and your benefit. It's impossible. It cannot be done. Yet God does it. God does it in you, for you, through you. He will manifest the power of God in every circumstance for good for you and for the glory of His kingdom. I have that expectation. Somebody else is going to say, well, they're going to figure it out in their own mind. Well, yeah, that never did work out right. No. I'm blessed. I win. I walk in the presence of God. He's transformed and changed me into His image. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So Joshua, verse 23, took the whole land according to all that the Lord said to Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. So it was already planned, okay, in the mind of God, okay, this goes to this guy, this goes to this guy, this goes to this guy. Not only just the tribe, 12 guys, but also their divisions, which is their descendants, the sons and the sons and the sons. So all of these, so that by the time they got there, because there was a lot more than 12 tribe guys, you know, there was, you know, millions, that they divided it up as God commanded them to do. And the land rested from war. And the land rested from war. I'm resting. Amen? From war. Jesus said, it's finished. So we have two things to look at. Is that you have an outward man that tends to be in trouble all the time, but you have an inward man that has rested from war. Amen? Are you at rest? I am at rest. What the enemy thought he had on me, he did not have. And I want you to agree with that today. Is because if you are in Christ Jesus, if you had said, Jesus Christ, my sins are completely forgiven from past, present, and future. They're past, present, and future forgiven. And I'm walking with the Lord God and Jesus Christ filled with the Holy Spirit. And He is in me to will and to do of His good pleasure. I'm at rest. Now the outward man is perishing, the Bible says, day by day. Let him perish. Let her perish. You know, that's the sanctification part. You know, the sanctification part is over in Philippians chapter 2 where he says, and let us work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, what's the fear and trembling part? That is the part of you that's fallen off that's not of any benefit to the kingdom of God. For, the next verse says, for it is God who is in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So He's in me. He's changing my willer and changing my doer. But it's as I meditate upon His promise, do not be afraid. Amen? Do not be afraid. Let's walk together with Him. He is changing me. He is praying for me that we would be in Him and through Him in the Holy Spirit with God the Father and God the Son. And these men, these families, began to walk in the power of the living God through prayer. Remember over in the book of Acts where, you know, they killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And here we are talking about in Acts chapter 12 where Peter was thrown in the prison. And God began to do miraculous works among them. We're in the day when the Lord will do miraculous works among us. Amen. We have a society that appeared to be, you know, wow, that was great. You know, that was great. And that, oh, what happened? It, you know, well, first of all, we look at ourselves and say, if the pastor did it, you know, well, you're right. You know, the pastor messed up. But we messed up. We did not do what God told us to do. We got quiet. We got lazy. We got, you know. But again, all of those things are not for a condemnation. It's just an evidence that you just forgot who you were, right? Over in James chapter 1, you looked into the perfect law of liberty and you forgot who you were. So again, it's not like, oh, God's going to come with a big 2x4 and judge everybody. No, the judgment's already been placed on Jesus. What the point is that bring Jesus to the people who need to hear Jesus. Amen? Oh, God, you know, get on TV, you know, God's judging America. Well, He already judged on Jesus. He put all of the sin of the world on Jesus. All we got to do is tell Him. Now, why is the world falling apart? Because people don't listen to Jesus. But we can change that. You can just tell somebody else about that Jesus Christ loves you and He's manifesting His love toward you. He'll change everything in your life. He will change everything in your life. Let me pray for you. Amen? This is it. That's why Joshua was taking over the whole world. Taking over the land of Canaan. Because he's getting rid of evil at the command of God and building up the kingdom of heaven. And that's a type and a shadow of the kingdom of heaven that we live in and that we are disseminating to the entire world because God loves everybody. Amen? God loves everybody. There's not a person He doesn't love. There's not a Muslim He doesn't love. Amen? Praise God. There's not a Buddhist He doesn't love. There's not a sinner He doesn't love. You know, He wants everybody, because everybody's hearing a different story from the devil who is leading them into death and destruction. You are given the gift of eternal life to give to somebody else. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Father, we just give You praise right now. We pray for those who are among us, who are in trouble. And we ask You, Lord God, to show them Your joy.